Our epistle lesson today comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in the 12th chapter, as we hear about being one body with many members. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greek, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If it were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We are currently in a series called Greater Gifts. And this name of Greater Gifts we heard in the last verse of our scripture lesson today, where the instruction is to strive for the greater gifts. We come to a week that, I'll be honest, I haven't exactly been looking forward to, because today is all about being needy. And I don't know about you, but I don't love to be labeled as being needy. However, we're going to change that today. I hope we can all embrace our need to be needy. Oftentimes, being needy comes with all sorts of negative connotations and baggage, but we're going to look at it from a different perspective today. The perspective that says we need each other. Just as God arranged the members of our own physical bodies, so too God has arranged the members of our community of faith. So this week we're going to put a positive spin on being needy. Now, 2 weeks ago, you were invited to activate your spiritual gifts, the ones that God has given us for this journey that we're on together. And last week, you heard more about God's grace and the ways that you are called to serve, the ways that you are to put those gifts to use. In the body of Christ, all of us all of us are given gifts, and all of the gifts that we bring to the church are indeed interrelated. You see, we can't succeed in the mission of knowing Jesus and making Jesus known, and in our corporate denominational mission of making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, unless we are truly working together. And that means depending and valuing each of the gifts that each and every disciple offers to the good of the whole. So what does it mean for us to be interrelated? And what does it mean to be a part of this inescapable network we call the body of Christ? It means we're all in this together. And I've been wondering, does that describe our church? Is that how we think of what we bring, our gifts, ourselves, as working together, as interrelated, as connected, and lifting us up together? Or does our church and its disciples operate, or at least attempt to operate, independent of one another? You see, we're kind of culturally fed a lie as Americans. We're taught that there's this virtue, and it's called being independent. And we're told it's of great importance. But oftentimes, this so-called virtue of being independent becomes something that directly conflicts with the Christian value of being interdependent, of being part of the body of Christ. So we're going to take a closer look at all of this today. But I invite you to ponder this throughout the week, to let it sit with you. Is being needy always wrong? Martin Luther King talked about being interrelated, and he put it this way. He says, in a real sense, all of life is interrelated. All men and women are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied into a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. And you can never be what you ought to be until I am what I ought to be. This is the interrelated structure of reality. That's really eloquent. And Paul put it similarly. He said in verse 12 of chapter 12, all members are of the body. Though many members are one, the body does not consist of one member, but many. As such, we should never find ourselves saying to ourselves or to anyone else in all of God's creation, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong. Or because I'm not an eye, I don't belong. And this is why. Because if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were dedicated to hearing, where would the sense of smell be? Friends, it's much too important to the mission of the church to be playing games about who's an eye and who's an ear and who's the nose and who's the fingers and who's the toes and who's the kidney and who's the brain and who's the connective tissue that makes it all work together. Our mission of knowing Jesus and making Jesus known has no room for ego, for belittling, for looking down on the gifts of others. When we are all working together, we grow, we make disciples, and there is no other task that is more important than focusing on God's will for us. Here's the good news. We have many gifted disciples who are putting their gifts to work for our common mission and purpose. We have Sunday school teachers who are helping children and adults learn God's story of salvation. We have singers and musicians who offer their gifts in worship to help inspire us as we lift our hearts and our souls to God. We have nursery workers who care for the youngest and nurture them as they grow. We have trustees and other worker bees who attend to things behind the scenes that make it possible for all of the rest of the mission and ministry that we do in this place. We have United Methodist Women who use their gifts to support the development and growth of women and children who are aspiring to their fullest God-given potential. We have crafters who use their skills to create angels that bring comfort, to crochet together bags and mats that bring a sense of safety to those who are homeless, people who make cards to celebrate milestones and to brighten long days. We have others who knit and crochet shawls that convey the compassion and love of the body to those who are hurting. Yet as much as we celebrate these gifts and the many others being put to use, I know that we still have untouched and unused gifts among us. It's a wonderful thing that we have a lot of people using some or most of their gifts, that there's much being contributed. Paul said it this way. He said, if all were a single member, where would the body be? The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. I believe that there are gifts that we treat with greater respect, that we bring higher honor or value to, while at the same time, there are gifts that we don't lift up the same way. That's a failure on our part, because friends, all of the gifts that God has given are needed, are welcomed, and are to be appreciated. No one gift is more important than another. In order for us to function healthily, we need to make sure that all members of the body know that they are indispensable, that we can't make it without them. No one is less honorable or less respectable. For our church to be healthy and to function in the way it's supposed to as an interdependent group, we need the variety of gifts present and the participation of all members to be full and healthy. Now, I need you to suspend your wariness of others around you for just a moment. I'm going to invite you to participate in a semi-fictitious neediness survey of our body. I say it's semi-fictitious because I'm not going to use it for anything, but I really do mean it in this moment, and I really do want you to participate. Now, I'm going to make the guess that all of us have at least one hand with five fingers. You're going to need your hand. All right? Does everybody have a hand with at least five fingers? All right. Excellent. All right. So, you need to know the numbers 1 through 5. Got that? Perfect. All right. 1 is the sign for very much disagree. 1 is most disagree. Yeah, this one, right? All right. And we're going to go on a scale all the way up to 5, which is fully agree, very much agree. All right? Got it. Disagree, fully agree. And you can figure out 2, 3, and 4. All right. Okay, so I need you to hold up your hand with the number that fits you, and I need you to be honest as I read off the following statements. All right, here we go. Disagree to agree. Is it okay to need another person's help? It is okay to need another person's help. All right. Second statement. All that I need, I can provide. All that I need, I can provide. Disagree to agree. All right. Third statement. Don't ask me for help. I'll offer help when I can. Don't ask me for help. I'll offer help when I can. Disagree to agree. All right. Fourth statement. I would come close to death before I would consider asking for help. I would come close to death before I would consider asking for help. Disagree to agree. Yeah. Okay. All right. And the last statement. It makes me uncomfortable to ask for help. It makes me uncomfortable to ask for help. Disagree to agree. Yeah. All right. Thank you all. I've got the results in from our very unscientific poll. First observation, we're uncomfortable with being vulnerable. We just need to know that about ourselves. The second observation I would make is that we, at least in general, are pretty uncomfortable asking for help. And we need to know that about ourselves, too. The third unscientific result. We're at least a little bit uncomfortable admitting we need others to thrive. We're at least a little bit uncomfortable with that. My fourth observation, and this is a little bit warming to my heart. We don't think we're totally self-sufficient. We do acknowledge that there may be times when we need others. That's really self-aware of us, and I appreciate that. And my fifth observation is that, in general, most of us, if we're asked to help or to do a little bit more, think that we'd be willing to do it. Most of us think that we have at least a little bit more that we might be able to offer. So let's hear from Paul again, this time verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, if one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. When it comes to recognizing the interrelated nature of our gifts, we're going to have to come to terms with our own vulnerability and our dependence on each other. We must say that it is okay to need one another. It is okay to need one another. In fact, that is a good thing, to need one another. Because the reality is that many parts of the body aren't always functioning at their fullest. And often those parts don't realize how it's hurting the whole. Now, this isn't about a guilt trip or asking you or instructing you or demanding that you do more. Please don't hear this as that. What I'm saying with honesty and love is that we need you, and we need you, and we need each other. God has gifted you and me. And God has gifted you in ways that God has not gifted me. And I need you. I need you to show up and to share your gifts, because without your gifts, this body doesn't function the way that God intended it to. And isn't that our ultimate goal? To function the way that God intends, to fulfill the call on our lives, to be what God has created us to be, especially as this community of faith, as this body of Christ. I hope you're saying, well, Pastor, of course. God is working in each person's life. Each one of you. God is working in your life. You are a part of this congregation. Now, whether that's something that you have done formally by joining in membership, or that is something you have done formally by choosing to associate yourselves with us, even just today, No matter your age, young, old, or somewhere in between, God has gifted you, and you are included in this body. You are needed here. God has given us great gifts. Faith, hope, and love, these are God's gifts to us that are to be shared, as well as all of the other gifts that God has given us. We've been called to support the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, because the way our lives fit together is like one big, gigantic puzzle. You see, we each bring one piece with us, and we begin to connect it to other pieces. And while your piece may have one little bit of a picture, it sure doesn't have the full image just on your one little piece. In order to see the full image, we're going to have to connect all of our pieces together to see the big, full thing that God is doing. We need each other. Now, if you want to practice this week, there are a couple of ways that you could practice. If you want to practice honoring the gifts of others, maybe you could choose to express your gratitude either verbally or with some small token of appreciation to a person who is making a difference in your life and in the life of the church, especially if you think that person might be underappreciated. Now, if you want to practice being interrelated and interdependent, being vulnerable with someone else, then allow someone else to serve you. And I'm going to suggest that that's somebody who doesn't get paid for the service that they're doing. Then reflect on how it feels to be the recipient of someone else's gifts and graces. How does it make you feel and why? Here's the best news I can tell you. We are not alone in this. This may also be the hardest thing that I can tell you. We are not alone in this. So may the God who makes both of these things true for us at the same time grant us the patience, the care, the tolerance, and the joy to get through this life together. Let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have given us much more than we can ask or imagine. One of your gifts to us is the church. We thank you for those who have supported us, nurtured us, encouraged us, challenged us. Lord, it is all too apparent that we need your grace and your mercy. Humble us, that we might also see our need for one another. Thank you for drawing us closer to you through the worship and fellowship of this church. We are glad that each person is precious to you. Send your Holy Spirit to help us grow stronger in faith and share your love with others. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.